Chapter 10. I told the cabbie to keep the meter running and headed for the carpenter's front door. Molly remained cool, distant, and untouchably silent all the way over the small lawn. She walked calmly up the steps to the porch. She faced the door calmly, and then broke out into a sweat the moment I rang the bell. Nice to know I wasn't the only one. I wasn't looking forward to speaking with Michael. As long as I kept the conversation brief and didn't get too close to him, he might not sense the presence of the demon inside me. Things might work out. My already sore head twinged a little more. Beside me, Molly rolled her shoulders in a few jerky motions and pushed at her hair in fitful little gestures. She tugged at her well-tattered skirts and grimaced at her boots. Can you see if there's any mud on them? I paused to consider her for a second. Then I said, you have two tattoos showing right now, and you probably used a fake ID to get them. Your piercings would set off any metal detector worth the name, and you're featuring them in parts of your anatomy your parents wish you didn't yet realize you had. You're dressed like Frankenhooker, and your hair has been dyed colors I previously thought existed only in cotton candy. I turned to face the door again. I wouldn't waste time worrying about a little mud on the boots. In the corner of my eye, Molly swallowed nervously, staring at me until the door opened. Molly! Shrieked a little girl's voice. There was a blur of pink cotton pajamas, a happy squeal, and then Molly caught one of her little sisters in her arms in a mutual hug. Hiya, Hobbit, Molly said, catching the girl by an ankle and dangling her in the air. This elicited screams of delight from the girl. Molly swung her upright again. How have you been? Daniel is the boss kid now, but he isn't as good as you, the girl said. He yells lots more. Why is your hair blue? Hey, I said, it's pink too. The girl, a golden-haired moppet of 6 or 7, noticed me for the first time and promptly buried her face against Molly's neck. You remember Hope, Molly said. Say hello to Mr. Dresden. My name is Hobbit, the little girl declared boldly, then lowered her face into the curve of Molly's neck and hid from me. Meanwhile, the house erupted with thudding feet and more shouts. Lights started flicking on upstairs, and the stairwell shuddered as brothers and sisters pounded down it and ran for the front door. Another pair of girls made it there first, both of them older than Hope. They both assaulted Molly with shrieks and flying hugs. Bill, the smaller of the pair, greeted me afterward. You came back to visit. My name is Harry, actually, I said, and I remember you, Amanda, right? I'm Amanda, she allowed cautiously. But we already have a Harry. That's why you're Bill. And this is Alicia, Molly said of the other, a child as gawky and skinny as Molly had been when I first met her. Her hair was darker than the others, trimmed short, and she wore black-rimmed glasses over a serious expression. She's the next oldest girl. You remember Mr. Dresden, don't you, Leech? Don't call me Leech, she said in the patient tone of someone who has said something a million times and plans on saying it a million times more. Hello, sir, she told me. Alicia, I said, nodding. Evidently, the use of her actual name constituted a gesture of partisanship. She gave me a somewhat relieved and conspiratorial smile. A pair of boys showed up. The older might have been almost ready to take a driver's test. The next was balanced precariously between grade school and pimples. Both had Michael's dark hair and solid, sober expression. The younger boy almost threw himself at Molly upon seeing her, but restrained himself to a hello and a hug. The older boy only folded his arms and frowned. My brother Matthew, Molly said of the younger. I nodded at him. Where have you been? The older boy said. He stood there frowning at Molly for a moment. Nice to see you too, Daniel, she replied. You know Mr. Dresden? He gave me a nod, said to Molly. I'm not kidding. You just took off. Do you have any idea of how much it messed things up here? Molly's mouth firmed into a line. You didn't think I was going to just hang around here forever, did you? Is it Halloween wherever it is you live? Daniel demanded. Look at you. Mom's gonna freak out. Molly stepped forward and half tossed Hope into Daniel's chest. When does she do anything else? Shouldn't these two be in bed? Daniel grimaced as he caught Hope and said, That's what I was trying to do before someone interrupted bedtime. He took Amanda's hand and over half-hearted protests, took the two youngest girls back into the house. There was a creak from the upstairs of the house, and Alicia thumped Matthew firmly with her elbow. The two vanished as heavy steps descended from the second floor. Michael Carpenter was almost as tall as me and packed a lot more muscle. He had the kind of face that told anyone who looked that he was a man of honesty and kindness, who nonetheless could probably kick the crap out of you if you offered him violence. I wasn't sure how he managed that. Something about the strength of his jawline, maybe, bespoke the steady power of both body and mind. But as for the kindness, that went all the way down to his soul. You could see it in the warmth of his gray eyes. He wore khaki pants and a light blue t-shirt, a hard-cased plastic cylinder, doubtless the one he used to transport his sword, hung from a strap over one shoulder. An overnight bag hung over the other, and his hair was damp from the shower. He came down the stairs at a pace of a man with places to be, until he looked up and saw Molly and me standing in the doorway. He froze in place, a smile of surprised delight illuminating his face as he saw Molly. The overnight bag thumped to the floor as he strode forward and crushed his oldest daughter to his chest in a hug. "Daddy," she protested. "Hush," he told her. "Let me hug you." Her eyes flickered to the case still held against one shoulder, and her expression became tainted with a sudden worry. "When are you going?" "You just caught me," he said. "I'm glad." She hugged her father back and closed her eyes. "It's just a visit," she said.